Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I know someone else should be feeling that as well. God would heal your brokenness. Oh, my goodness. At a time like this, we are at the time of transfer. A special broadcast just for a little while. That's something that has been on my heart and mind all day. And I said, Lord, I have to get out and try to make things meet with this old vehicle. I'm trying to get one service from the next service and trying to stay in focus. But the enemy is regularly on attack. And I said, Lord, the attacks, the trials and tribulation are so severe. But I heard my friend tell me just on yesterday, I'm only here to keep you from going from the left or to the right. I'm here to let you hold it in a row, keep it straight. And that word that came to me was so profound to me, because they didn't know that one of the first messages that I had 15 years ago that I was getting ready to preach when I have set my calling was holding in a row from the book of Proverbs, where the pathway leads you can lead you to that's a right or left turn at the entry, at the door. And we choose our pathway, good God Almighty. I'm not here to talk about that, but they didn't know that they had picked my spirit up right then. They touched me right there when they said that in a way that I couldn't do nothing but smile. And I know it had to be nothing but the Lord on my side. Well, let me know, son, just hold on just a little while longer. Because where I'm taking you at, this trial has to be so severe so you will be a blessing to others that come in your way. It ain't about you or what you're going through. It's about the maturity level that I'm about to give you. It's about the anointing with the fire that where I'm about to take you at, that there's some things that you got to be equipped for to handle. So I welcome the breakthrough. But, Lord, if I know the severe was going to be this hard, oh, my goodness. You know, that's one thing about us. We'll change up in the middle of the road. But I'm glad that God had me on his mind. Oh, my goodness. Let me go ahead and pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for another blessing. You didn't have to see fit to do it, but you did it for us. Father, lead us and guide us the way that you want to. Let us stay on the path of righteousness for your name's sake, Father. Oh, Father, we just say thank you for all you have done and what you are doing in ministry, Father. We know that sometimes, Father, that we have our faith look like it's going to waver because of the things that we're going through. But, Father, we spend a lot of time talking about the things we're going through and putting our focus on that. Father, we have missed what you have for us. So, Father, right now, as we continue to lift our heads up to the hills, come which comes our help. And we know right now, God, that all our help comes from you. We say thank you for our opportunity. We say, Father, we give you the honor and the praise. In your son Jesus' holy name we pray. Once again, thank you for tuning in to the Time of Transfer. You can always reach us at www.up-tp.org. Okay, y'all had enough of the preliminary. Let me get into this word. Today's word is coming, and I want you all to grasp this. I'm not going to be here long, but I'm going to try to get it in with the time frame that I'm allowed to have on this network. Okay, right now, we're in Ezra, the fourth chapter, and I want you to look at something, and I want you to get all your thinking out of the way, and I just want you to look at the realm of word, what God has for you in this. See, a lot of times we get upset at our enemies. A lot of times we get upset at how people treat us. A lot of times we just get mad and we think, right, we got all the answers. But I heard David say, I wait patiently on the Lord. And he heard my cry, good God of mine. I got to try to teach this because I'm feeling some kind of way right now. Ezra, the fourth chapter, reads, right? It says, and now when what? The adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captive build the temple unto the Lord God of Israel. Do you know that your enemies are paying attention to you? Your enemies, when God is blessing you, when God is moving you in a whole nother level, when God is doing something with you, when God has given you the promise, when God has took taken you out of the valley and took you out of Lodabar, and God has set you there. Your enemies are paying attention to what's going on. Good God Almighty. And see, you got to understand this here. It says the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin. You got to look at this now, right? In other words, when they was looking at the church, they weren't mad at the children. They was mad at Judah and Benjamin. So in other words, since Judah means praise, in other words, let me just give you this word right quick. Your adversaries, those who will come against you, or those who come against the people that are close to you, are mad at you, but they're trying to steal your praise. Y'all don't want to talk to me up in this place. They're trying to steal your praise. Judah means praise. See, they don't want what you got. Good God Almighty. See, the devil ain't coming to take what you got. That little stuff that you're trying to get or trying to hold you that. The devil tried to get your praise. Because if he get your praise, he can get your faith. Good God Almighty. If he can take your faith, then he know you ain't going to trust God. He know you ain't going to honor and do nothing. So he's trying to get your praise. See, if he can get you to stop praising God, then that means you ain't got no faith in God and you don't have no fear in God. That means you ain't going to listen to God. He ain't trying to steal your stuff. He ain't trying to get your man, your wife, your husband, your car, your job, or none of that. He ain't trying to get it. He's trying to steal your praise, God Almighty, from Zion. And look at this here. It's, and then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you. Now, wait a minute here. The history of these people, they had one foot in God and the other foot out. And they didn't know, they didn't want to worship God. They was trying to learn. See, you got people in your life. You got people coming in your path. It's trying to learn where you are. God Almighty. They trying to learn where you are. So they are, and what you're accustomed of doing, and trying to figure what makes you tick and what you like. So when your enemy comes up on you, when the devil wants to take you out of the position of God, he wants to learn what you really like. I often say that your devil, attack where your appetite and compassion is. Wherever your appetite and your compassion is, you're going to always find Satan. You ain't going to find them in all this other stuff. You ain't going to find them. You ain't going to find them in this stuff that you call is not so right or not so good for you. You ain't going to find them now. You're going to find Satan where he can be deceitful, where he can be manipulate, God Almighty, where he can be cunning. And wherever your appetite and compassion is. So look what Zerubbabel and the chief father said to them. He said, let us build with you. And you can't build nothing with your enemy. You can't build nothing with you. How are you going to bring your enemies? And what you saying, your enemy? Okay, then, how are you going to bring Satan, your adversaries, into a place where God has now made it sacred and holy for you? It does not go. What they want to do is draw you out from where you are. If I can draw you out from where you are, then you're going to get used to being on the outside. Because what you've been doing, it ain't going to seem right for you. Look at this thing here. This thing here is so real. He said, for we seek your God. In other words, I'm trying to learn how you worship. I'm trying to learn how you praise. I'm trying to learn why you get so excited when you hear the name of Jesus. I want to know what this feeling, what you say, the anointing, the Holy Ghost. I want to learn this. Good God Almighty. He said, for we seek your God as you do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Ezra, Sadar, the king of Israel, which brought us up hither. In other words, you go back and look at that. They still were worshiping idols as well. God Almighty. They were trying to have the best of both worlds. How you going to be with somebody trying to have the best of both worlds? But Zerubbabel and Jesse And the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, you have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God. In other words, you were just the one who was trying to kill us. You were just the one trying to slaughter us. You was hating us. Now you want to worship and make sacrifice like we do, and now you want to have your hands on the work. You can't. That's why I always tell people, if God brought you to a place, stay up on the anointing. Don't leave the anointing. But ourselves together will be. In other words, it's going to take us to do what God has for us. Saints of God, children of God, it's going to take us to do what God has for us. You want changes in this world? You want changes in this world? Come together as one body. Break down the denominations. Put that mess to the side. Let everybody get together and worship God at the same time. Let everybody start doing the work. Say, Elder, we've been hearing this speech for a long time. Well, you're going to continue to hear it because it is the truth. When we come together on one accord, God is going to move. See, you got to understand this here. During this time frame, God only, he touched the king, what? He touched King Cyrus' heart. And King Cyrus turned around and opened up. If you go to the fifth chapter, he gave him grace for a little while. God Almighty. This ain't the grace that we talk about in the Bible, but he gave them grace just for a little while. In other words, he opened up. God gave them a special anointing, a special assignment for the children to move right then, to come from being oppressed, to come up out of the dungeon. He gave them this special occasion, this grace, just for a little while. This grace was a special occasion grace. He said, but I said, put it together unto the Lord, God of Israel, and King Cyrus, the king of Persia, had both command. In other words, see, the king was touched by God. And since he was touched by God, he turned around and blessed. See, I'm trying to tell you something. God is going to have your enemy, and he's going to have the government to give you what you need. You don't have to work things out on your own. He's going to turn around and make the government give you what you need, and it's for the kingdom. It ain't for you. It's for kingdom building. But you have to stay the course. See, because King Cyrus turned around and gave all the gold, all the silver, all the horses, all the cows, all the sheep. He gave them more than enough. Silver, copper, he gave them more than enough. And then turned around and went into his own personal storage and gave all the gold out of that. And if that was not enough, he turned around and told the people that was in the valley that was under him to bless you as you were coming out. I'm trying to tell you, you're getting ready to be blessed coming out of this situation you're in. When you think you're in a bad situation, right now, at this appointed time, God is moving in your favor. But you have to stay the course. You have to stay the course. Once you stay the course, God going to do what he said. See, and then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. You know why? How they trouble? In other words, your adversary is going to come up against you. You're going to go through a trial where it may be a legal matter, where it be some kind of a matter that you understand. I got to bring this out. I preached this a few months ago, and I myself did not catch this word. And I've been meditating on all the message that I have been preaching over the last 2 months, because God was showing me something, and I missed something here. And I can honestly say that when I look at this here, he said there are going to be battles that are not your battles to fight. You got to know that this battle is the Lord. There's going to be some battles that you're going to have to deal with. But this battle here is not. This battle was ordained so that I would get the glory, so that I would get the praise, so I would get the honor and the glory, that everything that I need is going to happen here. See, because I have a purpose for your life. And if I didn't have a purpose for your life, then you wouldn't go through what you're going through. And I heard Jesus say this thing. He said, look, you're going to have trials and tribulations, but of the world. And you're going to go through some stuff. He said, but be encouraged, because what? I have overcome them. So in other words, that's some stuff that's going to come. The trial's going to come. Don't have a pity pat. Don't get crazy. Stay the course, because at the end of the day, the Lord has to last say so. If it's of the Lord, then you'll know the difference. That battle there will be. And if it ain't of the Lord, then you know the difference as well. But you have to be committed to stay the course. You can't get upset. You can't get crazy. You can't. Why you say that, Elder? That's easy for you to say. You going here, you doing this here. No, I catch hell all over the place. I ain't scared to tell you I catch hell. But the problem with me is that I'm like any other human. Sometimes I get emotional too. And I learn now to just hold my own mute. So, see, when we look at this here in Israel, right, you got to understand something. God is about to stir whoever have went against you. He's about to stir their heart. And see, like he did King Cyrus. See, he stirred King Cyrus' heart so bad that King Cyrus issued a decree for the Jews to return to the land to what? To rebuild the temple. And they all left. So in other words, he brought them. Let me show you something. You got to understand this here. They was living up under the Babylon laws. I got to say this here. I got to say it. They was living under the Babylon laws. The same laws, the same way we are living today all through the world. God is about to bring us out of this mess that we're in today. It don't look like we're oppressed. But you turn around and look at the things that are going on. There's no fear for God. People don't worship. People don't praise. People don't want to believe. People don't want to study. People don't want to love. People don't want to keep commitments. People don't want to trust. People don't want to do nothing. They want to do their own thing. So God is about to take those who truly believe, that have faith in him, out of there. He's about to move them up to a higher situation. And when you look at God in this particular place, and what you get ready to do, if you look at the things of the world, all you got to do is turn around and look at the things of the world. If you look at the things of the world, then you turn around and see how, and you, if you understand the Babylon laws, then you understand how the U.S., how the world is operating. And once you get that, then you understand that what I'm saying now today in Israel, in the fourth chapter, the breakthrough in the things that happen is already predained. And since they have been predained, all you have to do now is be in position to receive. Oh, good God Almighty. He said, but making this long, dangerous trail back to the land, two steps forward, they build an altar, gather in Jerusalem, celebrating what? The Feast of the Booths, and laid the foundation for the new temple. Three step forward. Then the enemy. You gotta look at this here now. See, look at the steps that you have taken in your life. And you look at how you have taken the step and how pleasant and how committed and how happy and how much you want to worship and praise God and you were willing to go the extra mile. Then the enemy hit and the work of the temple stopped. One step back. The work ceased for 16 long years. Look at this here. Good God Almighty, I'm talking to somebody here. For 16 long years. In other words, they stopped worshiping God. They start doing whatever they want to do. So they, in other words, they start entertaining the devil again. The devil popped up in the 16th year. Lord have mercy. Somebody shout glory around me here. If you don't believe me, read the word. This is the word. Good God Almighty. He said, it's 16 years, right? And they were still in the land one step ahead. But there was no center for worship in Jerusalem. The people, intimidated by their enemies, settled into a routine, a life that got them alone without the temple worship until God stirred up the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, who got the rebuilding of the temple moving again. What are you saying, Ella? There are some things that happen in your life that's about to set you back farther than you can ever imagine. There are some things that if you don't pay attention to this move of God, they're going to cost you. So when we look at the new beginning with God, the new beginning, excited and filled with hope. Things don't have to be as they had been during our time in Babylon, right? But his abundant grace, we can turn back to the Lord and start afresh. But no sooner have we turned back than the enemy hits and we suffer spiritual setbacks, spiritual highs that we have enjoyed in the following by a deep spiritual low. We are not sure that we want to ride the roller coaster back up or to face alone the sickening drop. So we settle into a spirit of mediocrity. That's what happened in the book of Isaiah in the fourth chapter. So what this lesson teaches? This lesson for us today, whenever you make a commitment to the Lord, be prepared to face the enemy unwavering attempt to set you back. Oh, God Almighty. Somebody in this house shout glory here. Whenever you make a commitment to the Lord, be prepared to face the enemy unwilling attempt to set you back. See, you think the enemy's job is to prove to God that you ain't who you are. It ain't about me, you, or nobody else, or what you're doing. The job is to prove to God that you ain't who you say you are. So when we look at verse 1, it say that the enemy of Judah and Benjamin heard that they was building a temple to the God of Israel. We cannot build whether it's a church building or a future or a ministry or building our own spiritual life without the enemy hearing about it. You can't think that God has blessed you with a blessing. Enemy ain't hearing about it. You can't think that God is in your life and doing great things for you, and the enemy don't hear about it. Well, the enemy, you don't know. The enemy is, you're looking for the enemy in other ways that you're familiar with. That Satan does not play. He come to kill, steal, and destroy. He come. See, I miss this, all of this here. I feel so bad because I was in a way to teach the people of God what to look for. And I missed it. And I'm telling you the day I blowed it. Because I preach about the blessing part of it more than allowing them to be aware of what was about to happen to them. So my focus was on them to get in position to receive what God had, not paying attention to the enemy, and then being able to receive God had. That's where I went wrong with this message. I was asking God, I said, God, what do you want me to teach? How you want me to do this? You brought me back to a place where ain't nobody but me and you. So now, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to go back to the place where you found the grace and the love, the affection, and you feared me, and you honor me, and you praise me, and you worship me day in and day out, and you did not worry about nothing. So don't think you finna do something for God and the enemy don't know about. It's just like me. I'm down, and I've been working with my network churches, with Up Top Ministry, and doing a great job. I'm talking about we're doing a great job. And when we finally start coming together, but you can't build it with those who don't like you. You can't build it with those who only come to see what's going on. You can't build it with those who have a hidden agenda. And then you can't let everybody know your business. Because once the enemy find out, the enemy goes on full attack. I don't care what it is. It's going to attack everything that attacks you so that it can get you off the course. It ain't caring nothing about what it attacks. That ain't its purpose. That ain't its focus. Its focus is to get you, because once it can get you, it can kill the momentum of the building. This is what happened to the children of Israel in Ezra. Good God Almighty. See, our spiritual enemy is vigilant and opposed of every attempt of spiritual advance. We got to pay attention to this here. You can say, Elder, you're talking mighty good there, but I really don't understand where you're coming from. Well, when the enemy comes, he comes prowling. Substance at first, but more aggressive if we resent his first attempt. You got to look at this thing here. Gotta look at this here. The enemy come prowling first to see what's going on, to see where you at. He come in to see exactly where you at, trying to figure out what the next move on how to move and maneuver. And when he finds out, he becomes more aggressive. And the more aggressive he come, we resist his first attempt. But the forewarning is to be forewarned. We miss all of that, and we get caught up in our mess, and we got out of the will of God. We stopped doing the work of God because we got into ourselves. We turned the things into ourselves, and now Satan got a hold on us. He's attacking us, and we really don't even know it. He will use whomever he wants to do his job. So it's critical to remember this. What often happens is a person make a new beginning with God, either at a conversation or after a time of captivity in Babylon, the world, rather, naive assumption that since he has now turned to the Lord, everything will go well from here on out. Finally, God is now on his side. His hope has never been higher. Just then, wham. The enemy hits, and he goes down, and he feels low. And then he did before he turned back to the Lord. Satan has a number of tricks or tools in this bag. The enemy's most dangerous trick is to lure us into a compromise under a glimpse of cooperation. The first plot was, let us be with you, for we like you, we seek your God, and we have been sacrificing to him since the days. If that day was like our day, Zerubbabel and Joshua probably didn't have a waiting list of those who wanted to help, but couldn't because there were so many workers alongside some locals who often worked with them. It could have been a bridge or outreach to build a relationship which they worked together. It was an opportunity to be friends. This is what it is. You got to be careful this year. He has a whole lot of tricks he used. In the light of that, their answer hit us in the face with a wet drag rag. You have nothing in common with us in building a house of our God, but we ourselves will build it together for the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus and the king of Persia has commanded us. How rude can this get? There is no way to win friends. But they was right. To find out where they were right, you have to understand 2 Kings, the 17th chapter, verse 24 through 41. These people have been brought from Babylon and their surrounding areas in the northern kingdom after it fell in, 722 B.C. At the beginning of their life, they did not fear the Lord, and he sent lions there and killed some of them. They assumed that their problems stemmed from not knowing the custom of the God of the land. So they called a priest from Israel who taught them about God. They began to sacrifice unto the Lord, but they also continued to worship their own God, the Babylon. Also in 2 Kings 17 and 41 sums it up. So while these nations feared the Lord, they also served their God, their children likewise, and their grandchildren. As their fathers did, so did they did this day. The problem of these people, we were forefathers of what? The New Testament Samaritan was systematic. They blend false religion, the false worship of one true God. They added God to their patron, but they never dropped their idols. If they had worked together with the return of exile, the Lord people would have fallen into a spiritual compromise, mingling idols with the worship of God. And when we look at this here, the danger of appearing with these enemies was their works were not absolute lies. They were partially true. They did worship God and sacrifice to him. The problem was they did not worship God alone. Some of the returned remnant could have accused Zerubbabel and Joseph of being too hard on these men. They believe in God just as we do. Why not make peace with them and let them work together with us? The answer is from the same reason that you don't drink water that is only a little bit polluted. It will poison you. Let me get out of here. I'm running behind my time. You don't drink water, little water, if it's only a bit polluted, because it will poison you. You don't mingle and diggle and dab with Satan. I don't care what it is. I don't care how long. I don't care what it's trying to do. It's going to get you. Remember, send in your prayer requests, send in any requests you have for the ministry. www.up-tm.org, Up Top Ministry. We love you. God loves you. There's nothing you can do about it. Continue to pray for my strength in the Lord as I continue to walk up into the Lord and worship him in higher ground. Lord, I love you. Lord, I adore you. In Jesus' name, amen.